Good morning, everyone. How you guys doing? Come on, how you guys doing this morning? Yes. We want you to stand up, and we're going to go ahead and lift the name of the Lord. We're going to do a song that is one of the greats. And actually, it's How Great Thou Art. He is great this morning. Yes, just lift it up to Him. Dear God, You are good, and we just thank You, dear God, for how great You are, and that we can call You friend. We love You, Lord, and we just thank You for this morning, dear God, and the sunshine, dear Jesus. In name and pray. Amen. You may be seated and shake the hands of the person next to you.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Cornerstone. We are glad you're with us this morning. Few quick announcements for you. Lots of things going on. First and foremost, we're in a series called Margin. And how many people in here, you just raise your hand and say, I wish I had more time. I mean, it's like the one of the biggest problems we face is we just can't get everything done that we feel like we need to get done. And hopefully through this series, we're going to learn a little bit about what margin means, about having time to do what's really important. And that's really what we're talking about today, just priorities, making wise choices. You got a worship guide when you came in. Let's just pull that out. A few announcements on here I just want to point your attention to. Youth tonight is from 6:30 to 8, not 5 to 8, 6:30 to 8, normal time. So that's youth here tonight, 6th grade and up. We'll be at the church. Life groups, I'll talk about those in a minute. We've got a CPR class coming up. We've got a simulcast coming up. We've got a Nicaragua mission trip coming up. I don't know if you saw on the news yesterday, but there was a volcanic eruption in Nicaragua, San Cristobal, the big volcano. If you've ever been there, we've had a lot of people from Cornerstone go. It's the big volcano on the right as you're going up towards Somatia, the great old huge one. It erupted yesterday. So be in prayer for some of the villages. They're having to evacuate there. So just I'm kind of interested to get on the news today and see what's going on today down there. So, but the mission trip's coming up the week after Thanksgiving. If you're even vaguely interested in going, go ahead, get your passport, get everything started in process now. And let us know that you're interested in going. We'll be having some planning meetings over the next few weeks and months as it gets closer. And then we've got a bunch of life groups starting up. Here at Cornerstone, every 4 months or so, we start a new round of life groups. And what life groups are, they're a way for you to get connected. They're a way for you to get involved. They're a way for you to get together with other believers and study the Bible. And we've got about 7 groups listed here. There's probably a couple more that we'll have that we'll be sharing about next week. If you look through those groups, lots of different groups, different one studying the book Crazy Love by Francis Chan, one's on the Book of James, the R12 book by Chip Ingram. We've got one going through the Book of Peter. We've got a Top Gun group for men that's going to be really great. You'll hear a little bit more about that next week. We'll be sharing about that. We've got a women's group, and then we've got an independence group that meets. We've got several more. It looks like we'll probably get some details to you next week on. But I just want to encourage you, if you've never been part of a life group, this is such a great way to get to know people here at Cornerstone. It's such a great way to get get connected, to learn about God in biblical community. And we're even going to be talking about that this morning during the message, how important that really is. So just want to encourage you about that. We also have another thing coming up on Wednesday nights. We're going to start a prayer meeting. Glenn, you want to say a little something about our plans, or God's plans? Yeah, this is pretty impressive to get Glenn up here even saying anything. So
amen. Good morning, church. Good morning, Chad. I'm ready for this time. I'm more of a behind the scenes type guy, but I've got to share with the church. God just has given me a tremendous burden to start a prayer time every Wednesday except the first Wednesday. That won't change. And I just think you can't go wrong with prayer. And we all know what spiritually where our country is. And I would just invite everybody to show up every Wednesday, 7 o'clock, downstairs in the community room. And just very informal, come bring your requests or praise reports. We'll just have a little time of opening up with that. And then we'll just go right into prayer. And I have to confess, too, that God's put this on my heart a while back, and I've just been procrastinating, and we're going to learn a little bit about that in the video, but I think that's one of the devil's most effective tools is procrastination. And so no more procrastination. I hope everybody can make it. And Mike, I'm a little ADD. You can fill in the blanks if I left out anything. I got the time. I got the place.
Time and place. We're good. Every Wednesday night, starting this week.
This week, that's right. This week. So hope everybody can make it. Thank you.
Great. So that's going to be a great way, again, just to get together each week. So we encourage you to come out for that. Before we just continue on a worship service, would you just join me in a time of prayer right now as we get ready to continue? Dear Heavenly Father, today we come to you just with an anticipation of what's going to be done here today. We're glad we can come together and open up your word and be challenged from it, to learn from it, to be encouraged by it. And Lord, I pray that this time of worship, as we lift our voices to you, that it would just clear our minds and allow us to focus completely on you, to help us see what's truly important. Lord, I pray that each person here today, that they would be challenged to leave here, to be transformed, to be more like Jesus in their thoughts and their actions and their character and everything that they do, that they would leave this place, Lord, looking more like Jesus than when they came. It's in Jesus' name I pray this morning. Amen.
Go ahead and stand to continue to worship with us.
The same love that set the captives free.
pray for Pastor Mike as he comes and talks about the margins in our life. Dear God, I just pray that we'll just set this time aside to hear you talking to us, speaking to us. And I just pray that our busyness won't overwhelm our lives. We love you, Lord. Let me pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Talk about priorities and you say, I want to get my priorities in line, but I just can't get around to doing what I need to do. And so then I feel guilty and I feel bad about not doing it. And then I get depressed about not doing it and I feel guilty. And so I eat a little bit, which makes me feel a little bit more guilty. And then I watch TV while I'm eating and feeling guilty. Do I need to say anymore? It's kind of how we live. I think the key behind overcoming procrastination is not trying harder. When you do not have a clear-cut vision, if you don't have a clear-cut goal, it's very difficult to be motivated. The Apostle Paul, you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 23 to 27, you know, here's a guy who said, I don't box aimlessly. Here's a guy who said in Philippians 3, this one thing I do. He says, I buffet my body. Here's where I'm going to go with my life. I want to know Christ and make Him known. When you begin to ponder, what kind of impact will my life have 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now? And then you look at what will be the implications. Then you get real clear on this is the kind of man, this is the kind of woman, this is the kind of marriage, this is the kind of person I want to be. The clearer you get that, clarity of vision is the key to an intensity of passion. And intensity of passion is why you don't procrastinate. People who know where they want to go and what they want to do, man, they're motivated. They don't procrastinate a lot. I think it's
kind of an abrupt stop there, but the point of that is so important that we have a clear vision for our life. Now, it's good to see everybody this morning. Back through the spring and summer, our 9:15 service has been by far the biggest and our most energetic service. So already this morning, y'all are, I'm proud of you guys. You're awake. You're energetic. And I'm excited about this morning, what God's going to do. We had a great first service. I'm looking forward to today. And we're going to be talking about this idea of margin. Now, if I were to ask most people in this room, what's important in your life? I have a feeling that you would give me a pretty clear and concise, listing of what you say are important. God's important, my family, church. We would, you know, my children, you would have a pretty clear and concise list of what's really important in your life. Or is it? Because I think most of us have two lists. The list in our head where we say, yeah, this is what's important in life. And then the list that's actual reality. The list that shows what's important in our life. When we start examining how we spend our time and how we spend our energy and how we spend our passion and how we spend our money, we get a much clearer picture of what's really important in life. And the thing is, those two lists for most people do not match. There's a disconnect. For most people, what they say is important doesn't match what they live. And what I want to do today is try to help us bring those two things together. Because the problem is not that we don't know this stuff. The problem is that we don't have that clear, concise vision for where God is calling us, like Chip Ingram was just talking about. I love the statement he said, you know, that clear, concise vision leads to an intensity of passion. And that intensity is what I want to live life with. A life that is focused on what God wants, on His purposes, His plans, and His ways. Dallas Willard, who's a theologian, he talks about personal transformation a lot and how we can grow in Christ. And he talks about three words that lead to Christian growth. Those three words are vision. Just like we're talking about here, a clear vision of where we're going. understanding that we're called to be like Christ in everything, our thoughts, our actions, our attitudes, our character, everything. The second word he talks about is intention. And that's where we set our minds and say, okay, I'm focused on this. I'm going this direction. It's like what I would say when you've had that moment where you say, I've had enough. You know, you can talk about losing weight all you want, but until you get to that point where you say, I've had enough, I'm going to start exercising. I'm setting my intention there. You know, that's the point. That's intention. So we've got to have a vision of where we're going. We've got to have an intention to set our minds on it. And then we have to have a means to get there. And then those are the tools that help us, the knowledge, the disciplines, the tools that help us get to where we're going. And really what this series about margin is combining those three things. It's giving you a vision for what your life should look like. It's hopefully motivating you enough to set your intention there and hopefully giving you some motivation and some ideas on what you can implement in your life to get to where God wants you to be. In the first service, I had my son stretch out a long cord here, and I'm just going to talk about this service because it didn't really work that well anyway. See, you get the benefit of that. Second service, I'm like, if it didn't work the first service, just forget it. But imagine your life like a long rope, okay? A rope that has a starting point that I'm holding right here, and you just stretch it out. You could take it all the way around the room, right? And in mathematics, you call that a ray. I don't know why I have to use mathematics to explain everything. But it's got a definite start point. And it goes on for infinity the other direction. Okay? That's a long rope, right? You're tracking with me. Now, our life, if you imagine that rope representing your life, the life we live here on earth is like a little tiny sliver next to the end. Are you tracking with me? When we start thinking about eternity, our life is but a little sliver at the beginning. And here's the thing. Most of our decisions only affect this little, unfortunately, most of the decisions we make affect this little sliver of life here on earth, and we neglect eternity. Instead of preparing for eternity, instead of leaving a legacy, instead of thinking about how we live our life, and how it's the ripple effect it's going to have for all of eternity, we get focused in on so many crazy, chaotic little things that in the scope of eternity don't make a difference. And we say, man, I'm just stressed, busy, overwhelmed, overworked, burdened, tired, worn out. And that's how we go through life, and we're okay with that. We shouldn't be okay with that, because our life is so much more than just this little sliver. You know, Paul says, you know, we're here for, but our life is like a vapor. It's here 1 minute and it's gone the next. So let me just challenge you this morning is, let's live in light of eternity. Instead of focusing on this little minute we're here, let's think about how the choices we make today not only affect tomorrow, but how they affect the rest of eternity. And that change of perspective really gives us a broader view of what it means to make wise choices. If you got your Bibles with you, open them up to Ephesians chapter 5. That's where we're going to kind of be our main passage for today. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll learn a little bit here about wise choices. As you're turning there, let me just ask you, if I asked you, how many of you would like to have more hours in the day, would you just be honest? You say you've said that at some point in time. I wish there were more hours in the day. I just can't get everything done. I say that all the time. I'm sitting there looking at everything. I cannot get this done. You just look. It's overwhelming sometimes, our to-do list. I think sometimes it'd be helpful to have a not to-do list. I would do much better on that than having a to-do list. But, you know, when you look at that, I think the problem is, even though we want more time, the problem is not that we don't have it. The problem is we don't spend the time we do have wisely. Let me just give you an example of that. How many times have you found yourself in a position where, for whatever reason, you had some unexpected free time? Maybe you went to work and the power's out, they sent you home, and you had an entire day where you had nothing on the schedule planned to do. Have you ever found yourself in a situation like that, unexpected free time? Now, at the end of that day, do you look back and say, oh my gosh, I can't believe how much I got done. This was marvelous. This was wonderful. I mean, if you're like me, you have an unexpected free time like that pop up in your life, and you look back at the end of your day and say, where did it go? It blows by, and you realize all of a sudden, man, I had all this extra time, and you start thinking about how you spent your day, and you think, well, I did this and this, but I really, and you start adding up all the hours, and they don't add up to 24. Have you ever done that? And you just don't know where the day went. The problem is, we don't spend our time wisely. We want to, but culture has this way of just pulling us away from God's intentions, and culture has a way of just overwhelming this margin we have in life. And it just has a way of just overwhelming it. I don't know if you guys have ever driven a car that's out of alignment. Here's another example. What happens when you're driving a car that's out of alignment? I mean, you have to fight it, right? If you let go of the steering wheel, what's going to happen? You're going to be in a ditch. Because it's constantly pulling. So, you know, you're constantly trying to wrestle that steering wheel and keep it in the road. And I feel like that's just a picture of so many of our lives right now. We're fighting with God, and we're letting culture pull us to the ditch. And instead of just letting Him guide and lead us, it's like we're living a life that's out of alignment. And again, this idea of margin. Let me just kind of go back and give you a definition of what margin is. Margin is that which is beyond what is necessary. It's beyond what is necessary in life. And I'm afraid that so many of us live without margin. We live without margin financially. We live without margin morally. We live without margin in our time. And we look at everything in our life, and what we find and what we learn is that relationships thrive in the margin. And that's what most of us don't have. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17. This hopefully will establish where we're going a little bit this morning. And what Paul says here is simply to be very careful. Be very careful then in how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. And he goes on to say, we need to make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Let's not kid ourselves. We live in an evil time right now. And let's not be foolish, but let's understand what the Lord's will is. And what I love about this passage is when we read this, I mean, it's a challenge to us that it doesn't just happen naturally. You know, if we let go of the steering wheel, we're going to end up in the ditch. We've got to make the most of every opportunity. And it means we have to pay attention. It means we have to realize and look around at this world we live in and realize how it's pulling us away from God's purposes. And we've got to not be foolish, but we've got to really be aware of what God's will is. Andy Stanley wrote a book several years ago. I've mentioned it before, but it's a powerful way of thinking about things. It's called The Best Question Ever. The Best Question Ever. And in the book, he talks about how we should make better choices, God-centered choices. And he said the problem is we go through life and we say, can I do this? Is this right? Is it wrong? If it's wrong, I won't do it. If it's right, I will do it. We go through life using filters like that to make our decisions. We'll go through life saying, well, can I do something? You know, I look on my, you know, I don't have anything on my schedule. Well, I'll do it then. You know, those type of decisions where we make decisions based just on, you know, whether we can do something. He said the better question, that's not entirely bad, but the better question is it wise? Is it wise? And in your notes, I had a blank here. For the next question, it says, in light of blank, is it wise? And here's what I want you to think about. I really don't have a word for you to write down in that blank because it's a broader concept. In light of what's important in my life, is it wise? I just want you to think with me for a minute about that statement. In light of what's important in my life, is it wise? Start thinking about the choices you make. In light of my children, who I don't get to see very much, is this a wise thing for me to do? In light of my of my time with God? Is this a wise thing for me to do? As we start putting those things in our life that we want to be important in that blank, you start understanding a little bit more about your decision making and your priorities. In light of where I want God to take me 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, is this a wise choice for me to make? And as we start thinking, it's not a matter then of can I do something? It's not a matter is this right or is this wrong, but it's a matter of wisdom. It's a matter of making the most of every opportunity. Am I going to allow God to help me make wise decisions? In light of my future hopes and dreams, is this activity wise? In light of my current family situation, in light of whatever, you know, you fill in the blank. What's important? Is it wise? So what are we going to do today? I want to try to answer this question. I want to try to help us learn from a biblical perspective how we can make wiser decisions. And I hope you're with me on this. I hope this is something that you want in your life, that you're not content with where you are, because if you don't have a vision for where you need to be and from where you are now, we're going to be stuck making the same mistake time after time after time after time. And here's the thing, the first thing that we've got to learn to do. We've got to learn, if we want to learn to schedule wisely, and we ask this question, how do we schedule wisely? The first thing we've got to learn to do is we've got to have the courage, we've got to have the faith to say no to many good things so that we can say yes to the best things. And think about this statement. There's so many things that we do, they're not bad. But when we step back and look at them, they're preventing us from God's best. There's so many things that we feel obligated to do. They're not necessarily bad, but they've prevented us from doing God's best. So we've got to have courage. We've got to learn to say no. We can't let the world push us into its mold, like Romans 12:2, to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And what the world is constantly trying to do is to push us into its a mold, push us to look like the society around us. And if we just do nothing, then we end up taking the shape of the world around us. We have to allow God to renew our minds. We have to allow God's Word to challenge us, to change us, to transform us, to be more like Jesus in everything we do. And then we'll have a clear picture of what God's will is for our life. And I think that's something we all would like to have in our life. We would like to be able to say, I know this is what God wants me to do. I know this is where God wants me to go. And we want to know God's will. So how do we do it? It's a process where we allow our minds to be transformed by the truth. And that allows us to not be pushed into the mold of the world. What's normal in the world today? What's normal in marriage? Divorce. What's normal with kids? Rebellion. What's normal with your schedule? It's being overworked, overburdened, stressed out, frazzled, frenzied, miserable, busy, and empty. I mean, that's normal in our society. I'm not okay with being normal. I don't want to be normal. I want to be different. I don't care if people look at me and my family and say, you know, they're just a little bit strange and weird and off their rocker. That's good. That's fine. I hope they do say that. If you know me and my family, you know that's a pretty accurate description. I mean, that's, you know, the problem is society. I don't want to be like society. I think God has a better way. If you ask somebody, I want you to think about this. When's the last time you walked up to somebody and said, how's it going? And they said, oh, it's great. I don't have a thing to do today. Have you ever heard that? Well, here's what I hear. 95% of the time I walk up, how's it going? You know, what's going on? What's up? You know, whatever. You go up to somebody and their immediate response is, oh, man, I'm just busy. It's good, but, man, it's busy. I just, you know, I don't know how I'm going to get everything done, but, you know, that's the response I probably get 95% of the time. Oh, I'm busy. It's busy. Things are good, but they're busy. I'm guilty of saying that myself. How are things going? Oh, good, but man, staying busy. You know, I mean, that's natural. That's what society expects. That's what we've allowed society to mold us into. You know, busy, busy, busy. And what we have to understand is busyness does not equal productivity. Maybe you've been at work somewhere before and you've seen this play out in real life. Right? I mean, I don't have to, I can kind of draw the outline for you. Don't look at anybody, point any fingers. But you know of somebody that you've been around at some point in your life that stayed incredibly busy and got nothing done all day long. Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. People that can, I mean, they're always doing something, but they're never doing what's important. And I feel like God's looking at our life and saying, that's exactly what you're doing. He's saying, you're staying incredibly busy, but none of it is making a difference for eternity. So wake up, change, let my will be done in your life. Let me use you. And that's amazing. I mean, you start thinking about it from that perspective. Again, it starts changing how we make choices. Are we making the wise choice? So many people are being robbed from a life of meaning, not by a lack of commitment, but because of overcommitment. Think about that for a minute. I said a couple weeks ago, if Satan can't make you bad, Satan will make you busy. And the problem for so many people is not a lack of commitment, it's overcommitment. And it's just so many things in our life, we allow God to be crowded out of our life. And for me, this is where I'm really struggling right now, is this learning how to say no to good things. I've got a lot of different things going on, not just all the needs here in our church. We're a growing church, lots of things going on, lots of people that have needs and have issues and crisis in life and those type of issues. But I'm also going back to school, trying to finish up my master's. I've got 3 classes left in seminary. And that's like kicking my butt right now, just to be completely honest with you. It's tough. I've got, you know, stuff with kids, and we've got kids. Our kids are 8, 12, and 14. I mean, there's just lots of stuff going on. My life right now is a little bit chaotic, more so than I like it. So I'm having to say no to things that are good. And that hurts when you do that. When I've had churches call me up and want some help with technology things, and I've had to say, you know, I really can't help you right now. Here's somebody you may talk to instead. That's tough. When somebody comes to you with a good need, and you have to say, I'm sorry, I can't help you, but here, you know, and you try to point, but we have to learn in life to say no. Ladies, I'll talk with you for a minute here, but I've mentioned this before, but we live in a society that our relationships are so lacking, and I think one of the greatest reasons why is pride. And we're, you know, if we just be honest, the reason that you never go to somebody else's house or they never come to your house is because you're worried about how things look. You know, you got to have everything put away, everything cleaned up, and everything just perfect. And since you don't, you feel like, well, you know, why even try? And you're missing out on relationships, biblical community that God has caused us to live. You know, my wife does a great job at home, but with 3 kids at home during the day, our house, sometimes it looks like a train wreck. If you come to our house, you're going to have to jump over some toys to get in the garage. That's life. And, you know, and are you okay with that? Because that's a decision that you can't let good things in our mind keep us from what's best. You tracking with me? Sometimes we have to make those choices that are tough. Let me give you another example. My kids looked at me real funny the first service when I said this, but it's going to be interesting this week. I'm going to give you a challenge this week to take one day and do a technology fast. Technology free. No internet, no email, no TV. And already some of you, I'm going to challenge all the parents to do this. And guess what? Teenagers, you will survive. There was life before the internet. Back in my day, see, I'm old enough to already say that. When we were in high school, no cell phones, no email, no internet, right? No gaming system. Well, we had Ataris, but, you know, that was the old wood-paneled Atari 2600. You know, take one day this week. Instead of sitting on the couch, everybody, you know, thumbing away, just take one day. Say, no technology, no TV, nothing. See what happens. Some of you guys, it scares you to even do that. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, but somebody may need to get in touch with me through email, so I'll just have my phone where I can check email. Because you're so important that you can't go a couple of hours without being connected through email. I tell you, if you get in a habit of doing that every week, take a few days. Not just one day, take a few days every week. Disconnect, pull back. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed at the results. Every time we've done that, it's made a huge difference in our family. And the problem is, the gravitational pull is back away. Oh, you know, we got to stay busy, got to be connected, got to do all this. So we'll do it for a week or two and then quit. I want to challenge you to make that a regular habit. A recent article in USA Today said the average American spends 28 hours a week watching TV. And yes, college football counts towards that, guys. 28 hours a week watching TV. 28 hours a week. Do you realize that is more than 3 full work days in front of the TV? And you say you don't have time. By the age of 70, now think about this. This will wake you up. By the age of 70, if you watch that much TV every week, you will have spent 10 years sitting in front of the TV. Is it worth it? Is it really? See, I mean, 10 years. Is that worth? Is that how you want to be remembered? He was a great TV watcher. Man, he knew how to change in channels. He had the whole channel listing memorized. I mean, that's the world we live in. And we're busy, don't have time, stress, burden, overwork. Turn the TV off. Maybe, is that a good idea? I mean, are we making wise choices here? I'm pushing you on some of these things because, again, we get pulled into the way that culture thinks and we think it's everything is okay. And the fact of the matter is, we have time for what we choose to have time for. We all have the same number of minutes, hours, seconds in a day, and God has given them to us in His plan for us. We can get everything we need to get done in that amount of time that He has given us. And it's just a matter, are we choosing to do the things of importance? And here's the problem. When things get kind of busy, when things get crazy, we tend to push 3 things out of our schedule. There's 3 things that we lose that gets pushed out. And the reason I want to share these 3 things with you is when you start looking at your life, if you're struggling in these 3 areas, you are too busy. If these 3 things are getting pushed out of your life, this is how you know that you need to make changes in your lifestyle. The first thing, if you're taking notes, the first thing, what matters that is missing, it is intimate time with God. When you start lacking intimate time with God, you are too busy. You are too busy. When you start lacking intimate time with God. There's so many reasons this is important that we start out. I would challenge you to start out your day centered around Christ. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." You want to know what made the biggest difference for me as a pastor here at the church on Sunday mornings? The alarm clock. I start setting it earlier and earlier. I get up before the kids are even awake, before Jennifer even wakes up. I get ready and I come on down to church and I slow down on Sunday mornings. So that even by the time the band starts getting here, I'm usually about done with everything I've got to have done and I can just relax and focus on God. Because when I get here on a Sunday morning, and I'm running frazzled, trying to get everything done, and my mind's not where it needs to be able to share God's Word with you. And the, for most of us in this room, the way we plan a typical day is we just barely get to where we're going with just enough time, and we're frazzled, and we're running, and we're running, and we don't have time for intimate time with God. Are you putting God first and letting everything else fall into place around God? Just like I would say it's the same thing with your tithe. When we tithe to God, everything else seems to fall in place. But when we get busy, it's like we shove that. It's the first thing that goes. A couple weeks ago, I challenged you to take 5 minutes each day and just do nothing. Just to slow down. Just to relax. Just to spend time with God. I want to double down on that today and challenge you this week to do 10 minutes each day. And I would challenge you to start off your day 10 minutes where you're not thinking about what needs to be done. 10 minutes where you're not worried about everything, places you have to go. 10 minutes where you just focus on God and spend intimate time with Him. Second thing I want to challenge you to do. And the second thing, I guess, that what that's missing, we miss intimate time with God, we're in trouble. But we also, we neglect, we lack intentional times of rest. And when we start lacking times of rest in our life, we have a problem. We have a huge problem. What does the Bible say? Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I'll find rest for your souls. Think about that for a minute. I'll find rest. This verse, when you read it, I mean, it's one of those verses you read and say, man, I mean, who doesn't want a life like this? Gentle, humble, rest for your souls. I mean, that's an inviting picture of the life that God has called us to. But yet, we're going so fast and so furious that we don't have time to even think about what this looks like in our life. What's interesting, if we go back and study history a little bit, back in the 20s and 30s was a time of rapid industrialization. Lots of new machines, kitchen appliances, all the stuff. And the goal of all this progress was more time. And it's interesting. I read a book, and this is said, it said in a book, for much of the 20th century, futurists and other labor experts were predicting even shorter work weeks. In the mid-1920s, for example, Julian Huxley said that the two-day work week was inevitable. Two-day work week. Because of the simple fact that the human being can only consume so much and no more. John Maynard Keynes observed in the early 1930s, when we reach the point when the world produces all the goods that it needs in 2 days of the week, as it inevitably will, we must turn our attention to the great problem of what to do with our leisure time. How many of y'all working 2 days a week? The U.S. leads the industrialized world in how many hours per year we work. People brag all the time, I didn't take a vacation last year. Well, you're stupid. Sorry, I know that's a bad word for kids. You're foolish. Is that better? You're foolish. Because why? Are we making wise choices? God worked 6 days, and on the seventh day, He did what? Rest. What about in the Old Testament? You can look. God said you can work the land for 6 years, and on the seventh year, you cannot plant, you cannot harvest. You give the land a year of rest. So how many of y'all have gone to your boss and said, I think I want to take this year off? And they say, fine, just take the rest of the years off too, right? I mean, this goes so against the way that our Western society is wired. We think we've got to go, we've got to get done. And the reality is God calls us to this rhythm of life where we work from our rest, where we're rested and we can work and we can produce and we can do what needs to be done. But instead, we have to rest from our work because we're just worn out. There's a huge difference between those two things. And, you know, and what's interesting, you go somewhere like Nicaragua, like we were talking about earlier. I mean, they don't have TVs. They don't have, you get out in the villages like where we go. I mean, it's funny. They have a different system of time than we have. They don't have watches. We say church is going to start at 7. We're all like, oh, man, we got to hurry. We got to get there. We get there and we look around. Where is everybody? Nobody's there. I mean, how many of y'all have been to Nicaragua in here? Let's look around. There's quite a few. Y'all know that. I mean, they're on a different system of time. And the reality is they have to work harder than we do to get the food they need and to get the things they need to survive. But when you see, they're not frazzled. They're not worried. They're not stressed out, burned out. They actually come and guess what? They have smiles on their faces when they come to church. They're joyful. They're not worried about being 5 minutes late. We could learn a lot from the third world countries. Because we think we have to go and we can't rest and we're too important to step back and slow down. You look at Jesus, his life. I mean, it gives us such an example. Mark, if you just take the Gospel of Mark, look through the Gospel of Mark. Mark 2, Jesus is alone at the lake before teaching. You know, he spends time alone. Mark 3, he withdraws with his disciples. Mark 3:13, he goes up on the mountainside. Mark 4:35, he leaves the crowds by getting into a boat. Mark 5, he's at the lake at the hillside. At Mark 5:21, he crosses the lake to the other side again and spends time alone. Mark 6, he sends his disciples ahead. He dismisses the crowd and he goes up on a mountain to pray. And we just continue to read about Jesus' life and we see these periods of rest. These periods of recharging, of spending time with the Father. And if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, if He needed it, why do we think we don't? You know, again, it's just a challenge. So we've talked about two things that we lack that gets pushed out when we get busy. Intimate time with God, intentional times of rest, and the third thing that gets pushed out is biblical community with believers. And when these three things get squeezed out of our schedule, we are too busy. The Bible, I mean, I could spend a whole sermon just talking about the importance of biblical community. How important it is to build relationships. So much of the New Testament is built around the one another principles. To encourage one another, to love one another, to exhort one another. I mean, we are called to live in biblical community. We grow together in community. We serve together in community. We witness together. We share Christ with others that way. Hebrews 10 says it this way. Hebrews 10 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, but not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Our time is short. Our mission is urgent. And are we willing to prioritize our time in such a way where we put God first? Where we put Him first. When our intimate time with God starts getting squeezed out of the schedule. When our intentional times of rest, where they get squeezed out. And when our biblical community with other believers, when that gets squeezed out, we're in trouble. We've got to slow down. We've got to learn how to put God first. I'm going to ask the band to come back up. I've got a video to show right here. About a million little choices. And life is really just that. It's a million little choices that we make each and every day that contribute to where we end up in life. So let's watch this as the band comes up.
The future is a million little choices. Practice or play video games. 2 hours in the gym or 2 hours at the movies. A little extra work or a little extra play. Reconcile or let the sun go down on your anger. Get up. Or push the snooze button again. Take a potential client to the game, or take a kid from a broken home. spend that bonus on yourself, or give it to a ministry that reaches out to pregnant teens. If we could get a picture of the future, if we could jump ahead 10, 15, 20 years, and see the accumulation of our decisions, the chain of events we set in motion, how differently would we live today? How would we choose to spend our time? What would we walk away from? How would we treat the people around us? What would we choose to pursue with passion? Where would we choose to invest our skills and our resources? Your future is a million little choices. And it starts today.
Here's the reality. You think you don't have time for the important things. But the reality is you don't have time for the most important thing. That's God. I want to challenge you. Your choices do start right now today. Just because you've been a slave in the past to your busy schedule doesn't mean you have to continue to be in the future. My challenge to you is to simply, will you put God first? Will you reprioritize your life around God's ways and His wills and His plan for your life? And for some of you, the first step that you need to take just right now, the first choice is just surrendering to God because you've been running from Him for far too long. Would you pray with me this morning? God, I ask that this morning Your Word would just penetrate our hearts. That we would be truly careful about this world we live in and the choices we make. My prayer, Lord, is that we would, each and every one of us, that we would strive to put You first in our life. That we would work, Lord, to not be consumed with the things of this life that don't make a difference for eternity. But that we would leave a legacy of faith, a legacy of love, a legacy of service. Lord, I just pray that we would be able to love like You loved, to live like You lived. I pray, Lord, that You would help us just to leave here encouraged, to leave here with a clear vision that leads to an intensity of passion in our life. Lord, I pray for each person in this room that they have a relationship with You. That they understand that church is not about a list of rules and regulations, but it's about a relationship with the God who created them. A relationship that we can have when we surrender our lives to You and invite You into our life. Lord, when we acknowledge our sinfulness, when we come before You and trust what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, that He took the pain, He took the punishment, He took the shame and the guilt and the condemnation, Lord, so that we could be free, that we could have a relationship with You. Lord, I'm so thankful for that. That You came to rescue us. You came to rescue us from the penalty of our sins, from the slavery of our sin. Lord, this morning my prayer is that each and every one of us, we would just focus on You. We would just find our rest in You. And that we would leave here living for You. It's in Jesus' name I pray this morning. Amen. So we close out this morning. You guys, you can go ahead and stand, everybody. As we close out, I just want to challenge you a little bit. You find response cards on the seat backs in front of you. And you may have a prayer request. You may just say, Mike, would you just pray for me this week? You may say this morning, I need to make a decision for Christ. I want to be baptized. Whatever it is, I just want to start putting God first at the beginning of every day. whatever it is, just respond the way God leads you. I'll be up at the front if you want to pray. We'll be up here. But let's just give our praises to God this morning.
Just continue.